So we are now on week 5 of Women in Kriyas HaTorah. The break last week, I apologize for if I wasn't able to give the share. I hope that won't break too much the flow from the beginning. But just to recap, we talked about where Kriyas HaTorah came from. We talked about who's obligated in the mitzvah. We talked about the nature of the brachos on Kriyas HaTorah. Are they Birkas HaMitzvah? Are they Birkas HaShevach? The question of who exactly is supposed to recite these Birchas HaTorah, is Kriyas HaTorah an obligation for each individual, such that they should be reciting it, but the Ola recites it and they're answering and it counts as their bracha. Also, within the view that Kriyas HaTorah is a communal obligation, we talked about maybe the possibility that anyone can actually say the bracha from the Rashba, as opposed to the idea that it has to be somebody who's obligated in the mitzvah per se. We talked about the institution of what is a Baal Kriya, and how the Oleh can recite the bracha if he's not the one who is laning. And we talked about the idea either, going with that Shibole Haleket, that the Baal Kriya is the shaliach of the person who's getting the Aliyah, versus the idea that it is Shomea Kaona, the Oleh hears the Baal Kriya's laning and counts it as his own. Either way, it comes down to Arevus, we had pointed out. And that's going to matter a lot for what we're going to talk about today. We had talked about the question, then we moved into the discussion about women and the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So women counting towards the seven Olim, which was the original enactment that they had said, that women counted towards the seven Aliyos. And we had said the general trend among the poskim, other than that Admag and Avram, is to assume that women are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah. So then how was it that they counted for the seven Aliyos? So what we had suggested was, the Rivash says, that the Chachamim were concerned that they wouldn't have enough people who could read competently. This was in the days before you had a Baal Kriya. So they accepted the idea that women would be able to do so. This was the takana. It's a special takana that they could be counted towards the seven before they made their takana of, now we're not going to count them towards the seven because of this kavarat tzibur concept, which I expect to discuss next week.
You're saying initially they weren't supposed to be part of it. I mean, the takana picked the part, and then they had to make the takana to kick it back out.
Exactly. That's the Rivash's idea. The Rivash expresses it principally regarding ketanim.
Right.
That's really where his context for the conversation. We asked, if women are not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, then how did they recite Birchas HaTorah when they laned their own aliyos? In those days, in that period of time, when a woman could get an aliyah and a woman was laning, how did she recite the brachos on her aliyah? And no one seemed to have any problem with it. When they all quote this law of women count towards the seven, no one says, and by the way, they can't make their bracha. So we gave a couple of different approaches. One approach was that it was only the middle aliyos. And back in those days, you didn't have a bracha for the middle aliyos. It was only the opening one and the closing one. So that would be, they could get the middle aliyah and not have to make a bracha. That was one approach. Or, no, they could get any of the aliyos. And we had a few different ways that that could work. This was the last thing that we had done a couple of weeks ago. One approach was that it's a birchas hamitzvah, even though the word vitzivanu does not appear. And following the view of Tosfos and Chachmei Ashkenaz that women may recite a Birkas HaMitzvah for a mitzvah from which they are exempt. So that will be one approach. Another approach is that it's Birkas HaShevach, and taking the view that you can recite a Birkas HaShevach when you feel the Shevach, even if you're not obligated, which we said was subject to some debate, as we talked about regarding Shechianu. And then a third approach is that Kriyas HaTorah is a communal responsibility and anybody can do the bracha. The community has to have Kriyas HaTorah, and anybody can do that. And that was that idea that we had mentioned from the Rashba. Okay, which brings us to the first of the two questions that I want to address today.
According to the Shita, that they can only make the middle brachas.
Yeah,
that means chronologically, according to that opinion,
it's
that the takana to make the middle brachas have to come after.
Correct, after the Kavanat Tzibur.
Right,
that would be right. Yeah. So the first of the two questions that I want to address is, assuming women are not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, okay, and assuming they're getting aliyos even after they institute the Baal Kriya entity, how is it that they could recite Birkas HaTorah? You see, we assumed that they were getting the Aliyah and they were leaving. Right? So they actually did the mitzvah. And therefore their bracha could be connected to the mitzvah. But if you're taking, if this is happening not only in those days when the person who got the Aliyah leaved, but also after the system split, so that now you had a Baal Kriya, and the woman just came up and got the Aliyah, and the Baal Kriya was the one who leaned, are they able to recite Birchas HaTorah, given that, at this point, she's not doing the mitzvah at all? In other words, assuming the mitzvah is Kriyas HaTorah, which is what we're assuming right now, we're going to see a whole different way to look at this today, but right now we're assuming that the mitzvah is Kriyas HaTorah. The Baal Kriya is the one doing Kriyas HaTorah. She has no mitzvah. Because we're taking the view of most of the world that she's not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. So, how is she reciting the bracha? What's she reciting the bracha on? She's not performing the mitzvah action of laning, right? And the Aliyah isn't an obligation for her.
Well, I'm not sure why it's different for the woman than for the man. The man, well, he's making breakfast and mitzvah, he's also not doing the mitzvah. I mean, these are the issues we talked about.
Except, how did it work? But how did it work for the man? You're right. When we discussed the institution of the Baal Kriya, yeah, we said the way it works is Arevus / Shomea Ka'oneh. Right?
Yeah.
It was either it was Shomea Ka'oneh, meaning I should be laning as the Oleh. The Baal Kriya is laning, I hear him, and that's like I am laning. Right? Leaving aside the rush that I'm actually supposed to lane along with him. But but I am hearing him lane, and therefore I am doing the mitzvah through his laning. That was Shomea Ka'oneh. Or alternatively, we had this not alternatively, really working with it. We had this idea of arevus, that even if he's not getting the mitzvah, because the Ole is the one getting the mitzvah, he's just performing the action. He's doing it for me because it's part of his mitzvah too. So the question is fundamentally, will that work if the Ole has no chiyuv? That's really what the question is. Does that mechanism apply to a female Ola? Ryan, you want to ask that?
No, you answer me.
That's the fundamental question. Now, you'll say to me, well, why should it be any different? That's what I'm going to walk through now.
Right.
So, the problem that we have is, and again, I'm referring back to the Frimer article for most of this, the majority view seems to be that a bar chiyuva, someone who is obligated in a mitzvah, like the man who is laning, who is not performing his own mitzvah, let's say, forget laning for a second, a person who is obligated to make kiddush, but already made kiddush, so he already fulfilled his own. He is not able to perform the mitzvah again for a non-bar chiyuva, for someone who is not obligated in the mitzvah. It's one thing to say, I already made kiddush, but Jacob did not already make Kiddush, so I can say Kiddush on his behalf and he can answer Amen and it's his mitzvah. That works. But if you had somebody who's not obligated in Kiddush, I couldn't recite Kiddush on their behalf. That's what we're going to say here is a cardinal principle, and we're going to demonstrate it in a moment. But the idea would be, the objection would be, it's not a mitzvah for her. She's not chayav in Kriyas HaTorah. So therefore, for me, I am laning, I can't lane on her behalf, because there's no mitzvah. Take a look on your sheet at the first source that I brought here. This is from Halachas of Havdalah. Now, the truth is, the relationship between women and Havdalah is its own topic, and a very problematic one. If you ever read up on this, this is a big issue. Because on the one hand, we say women are obligated in all of the active mitzvahs because they're obligated in all of the prohibitions when it comes to Shabbos, right? Kol shuv b'shamor u'isnu b'zachor. Whoever is obligated in shamor as yom haShabbos is obligated in zachor as yom haShabbos. And therefore we say, for example, women are chayav in Kiddush. The problem is that Havdalah al hayayin, Havdalah on wine, seems to be a derabanan, according to many halachic authorities. Even though we say Zachrehu, Bichnisaso, and Bitziaso, you're supposed to remember Shabbos at its start with Kiddush, and its closing with Havdalah, the use of wine for Havdalah seems to be a derabanan. So therefore, it's not clear whether women are obligated in Havdalah on wine. it becomes a big problem if a woman doesn't have a man to say Abdallah for her. So does she say Abdallah or does she not say Abdallah? So you'll say to me, well, what's the big deal? Right? You could take on whichever mitzvahs you like. However, Abdallah seems to be different. The Aruch HaShulchan has a nice long discussion about this because the bracha is the mitzvah. It's not like you have a mitzvah action to perform, like, let's say, blowing shofar. The bracha is the mitzvah. So there's a whole discussion about what women should do in the event that they can't hear Havdalah from a male. Do they say Havdalah on their own? My sense is that common practice is that women, in fact, do say Havdalah. They don't say, well, I guess I'm stuck and I'll starve tonight. But take a look at Source Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Nashim chayavos b'havdala k'shem shechayavos b'kiddush. He begins with the view that women are obligated in Havdalah. As they are obligated in Kiddush, we treat them as being obligated. V'yesh v'shecholek. And then there are those who disagree. Surprise. And the Rama writes, Haga, al kein lo yavdila la'atzman yagrak yishmu Havdalah min ha'anashim. The Rama says, yeah, therefore they shouldn't make their own Havdalah. They should hear Havdalah from a male. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. So they are not able to do it themselves. They hear it from a male. I'm going to bring you also shofar as an example, but take a look first at this Mishnah Berurah where he explains how this works. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Beis, Min ha'anashim, they're going to hear Havdalah from the males. Ve'im ha'anashim kevar hivdilu la'atzmam. If the men have already made Havdalah for themselves, so they heard it in shul, and therefore they had that as their mitzvah. Lo yavdilu kedei lahotzi hanashim. Surprise! The men are not allowed to say Havdalah for the women if the men already had their obligation fulfilled. Im ein sham zacharim gedolim o ketanim sheshomim mimenu, unless you have males, adults, or even minors who have a chinuch obligation, perhaps, to hear Havdalah from them. Because within this other view, it's a bracha in vain. In other words, a male who is not fulfilling his own obligation is not able to do the mitzvah on behalf of a female who is not obligated.
So would that mean, like, if you hear Havdalah at shul after Shabbos, and then your wife and daughter are at home, you shouldn't make Havdalah for them because they're not obligated?
Assuming that you had in mind in shul that it's your Havdalah. I'm not sure whether Stam Kavana at this point in shul is for people to be Yotze with that. I think not. In other words, I think most people go home and make their own Havdalah. So I think the default assumption is that the person who heard it, even though he said Amen, didn't really, you know, have it in mind. But yes, you should not. There are other reasons not to also, which is that in many shuls, unfortunately, they don't do Havdalah properly. But that's a whole other problem.
Even in the argument in Rosh Hashanah about whether mitzvah story is kavanah or not, wouldn't you say that for a bracha specifically, since Havdalah is mainly on brachas, it's mainly about the bracha, that you do need it, that brachas by definition need kavanah, so you could say, like Rabbi is saying, that unless a person specifically has kavanah for Havdalah, the standard assumption is they don't have kavanah. And that's why, even if they're not thinking anything, but they say amen, they're not yotzi for Havdalah, because there's no action there. The bracha is the kavanah. You need to have kavanah to fulfill it.
It's an interesting extrapolation. I'm not sure.
But the phrase in the Gemara is mitzvah shichos kavanah. So
yeah.
If we don't care about the bracha, that's referring to the mitzvah itself.
Yeah, that's
not the bracha is the mitzvah. Yeah.
Right, I'm not sure I would go into go into it that far. I think I would simply say a person cannot be motzi you without you intending to be yotze. Like we say regarding the person who's passing outside the shul and your shofar and so on. So he continues, the Mishnah Berurah continues and says, V'hine b'sefer zechor le'avram be'erech havdala v'chein b'sefer b'rika yotze v'hiviyu kama poskim desvira lehu da'afilu misha hivyu kvar yachol ha'havdil b'shvil ha'nashim. He says, poskim do say that one who already said Havdalah could do this for women. Mikol makom, but still he says, lama lanu l'hachnis atzman b'chash safek le'inyan bracha. Why should we get ourselves into a position of doubt regarding saying a bracha? Achrei dihi yachol ha'havdil b'atzma. He says she could just do Havdalah for herself and be done with it. Ukmosh kasavnu b'sipkatan akodeim, as he said in sipkatan lamed hey. V'ayim asher kasavnu b'beir halacha l'inyan berkas hanerum isha chayeves bakshim b'brachas la'atzma. There's a separate question regarding the bracha of barim ba'orei ha'ish. Fine. So the Mishnah Berurah's point is really the first half of what he had to say there, which is, you already fulfilled your obligation, male. You can't do this on behalf of a woman who is not necessarily obligated in the mitzvah. That's number one. Number two, take a look at Shofar. And Shofar is going to be an interesting and controversial case. The story is Gimel. Ava pisha nashim pituros yecholos litkoa. Even though women are exempt from Shofar, technically time-bound mitzvah, nonetheless, they are able to blow Shofar. And a male who already heard Shofar, he can blow Shofar for them. Unlike what we said regarding Abdallah. They should not make the bracha, we don't make the bracha for them, and that's because the Machaber does not follow Tosfos, and he says women don't make brachos on mitzvahs from which they are exempt. That's a general rule. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Ramah. V'haminog shehanashim mevarchos al mitzvahs asei shehazman grama. He says the practice is that women make a bracha on time-bound mitzvahs, because he's following Tosfos. Alkein gam kan tevarechna la'atzman. So he says, yeah, so they can make a bracha for themselves. Aval acherim lo yivarchu lahen. But others should not recite the bracha on their behalf in kvar yotzu, if they already were yotzu. V'ein token rak l'nashim. And you don't blow shofar just for women. Avalim token li'isha mechuyav, but if you're blowing for a man who's obligated, mevarchanah b'shekvar yotzu, then you can make a bracha even though you were already yotze. So regarding shofar as well, the Rama says that you don't blow shofar. I'm sorry, you don't say the bracha just for them, and you don't blow shofar even just for them. Now the truth of the matter is that one is controversial because the Shulchan Aruch said you can. So, if you really believe, as we are asserting, that someone who is chayiv in a mitzvah but already fulfilled his obligation can't do the mitzvah on behalf of someone who is exempt, then how does the Machaber say you can blow shofar for them? Yeah, the Machaber did.
No, he said don't say bracha.
Right, but how is it that he said you can blow the shofar? How can you?
Don't say bracha.
But how is it that I'm allowed to blow shofar for them? Remember, we're not supposed to blow shofar stam on Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's a problem. You only blow shofar for the sake of the mitzvah. The answer is, I am not... Blowing shofar for them is not like making havdalah for them. Making havdalah... Or, this is one approach. There's going to be another approach that we're going to see. But when it comes to making havdalah for them, they... I am the one doing the action. I am saying the words, I'm holding the cup of wine, the whole bit. I am doing it. And if they're not obligated, and I'm not obligated, then there's no reason for me to be doing this. However, when it comes to shofar, is the mitzvah blowing the shofar, or is the mitzvah hearing the shofar? The mitzvah could be said to be hearing the shofar. Therefore, I'm not the one doing the mitzvah, they're the ones doing the mitzvah. I'm enabling it by creating the sound. But they are actually doing the mitzvah. So that would be the difference.
There's also a chiluk between the fact that by havdalah you're saying brachas on the tala, as he says there in the Mishnah Berurah, but here, but by the shofar you're not saying brachas on the tala. You're playing the shofar. Sure, you should play the shofar, but you're not saying a bracha on the tala.
Why isn't it a bracha of a tala?
Because you're not saying a bracha. You're just blowing it for them. You're not saying a bracha. By havdalah you're saying brachas that you don't need to say.
It's shofar of a tala.
That's not as big of a deal.
Why is that
not a big deal? You're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah unless it's for the mitzvah.
It seems to me that brachas of the Talmud is more chamor.
Yeah, but it doesn't do away with the fact that we have a derabbanan not to blow shofar.
So in this case, the derabbanan didn't make it particular in this particular case.
That's a chiddush. That will be a chiddush.
Okay.
Adam, what were you going to say?
I just want to... Can you say the question one more time? I don't hear your
question. Yeah, the question is, in terms of my last point, the difference between Abdallah and Shofar, why is it that...
No, why do you think... Why do you...
A person who is not doing a mitzvah,
yeah,
because he already fulfilled his obligation,
yeah,
and the person for whom he's doing it isn't obligated.
Okay.
So, this person should not be doing this at all. There's no reason, in the case of Abdallah, for him to say Shem Hashem. Right? When he already fulfilled Havdalah, and the woman doesn't have a mitzvah.
Where did the Shulchan Aruch... You're talking about the Shita Shulchan Aruch?
You're talking about going back to Havdalah?
Yeah.
Where
did he state that?
When the Mishnah Berurah's clarification, when the Ramah said they should hear from males, the Mishnah Berurah said, but not if the males already said Havdalah.
Okay.
So what we're saying is, a male who already said Havdalah should not say Havdalah for a woman.
She should say her own.
Exactly.
But the Shulchan Aruch says, you can blow for women, how come?
Right.
But can't you say the mitzvah is not to make Havdalah, it's to hear Havdalah?
That's a chiddush. Do we have any such idea? We normally assume, I think, unless we know otherwise, that when we say there's a mitzvah to state something, it's a mitzvah to state it, not to hear it. Shofar is unique.
Isn't that how Shomea Ke'ona means? Because if you said it?
Yeah, that's what, by definition of the words, Shomea Ke'ona, right? One who hears it is as though he declared it. Right? Remember that the word oneh does not mean to answer. The word oneh means to declare, like any number of times in Navi. That's the question. The question is, why is it okay for Shofar and not okay for Havdalah? And that's my answer right now. My answer right now is that because hearing the sound may be the mitzvah.
You know, there's a problem in mixing the Mishnah Berurah to Shofar with their different opinions about brachos.
No, because the Mishnah Berurah is just explaining the Shulchan Aruch. He's explaining the Ramah. He's not inventing this idea.
Exactly. He's saying that's what explaining the Ramah, not the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
The Ramah is coming from a position where brachos are not such a big deal.
Right.
And the Shulchan Aruch is in a position where they're a big deal.
Right. But we're not mixing them. In other words, the Ramah took the position on... You're saying that we're following the Ramah on Havdalah and the Shulchan Aruch on Shofar?
You can leave the Atzman, right? You should have Havdalah and Inanash, so he explains that.
Right. The Ramah's position is consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. But the question then is, I understand that a woman could lain for herself. We've already talked about that, right? We've given different explanations about how a woman could lain for herself. That already we talked about 2 weeks ago. But how is it that she can get an aliyah and have a man lain? He is doing the mitzvah, so to speak, the action of the mitzvah on her behalf. He's not fulfilling an obligation for himself because he's not making the bracha, and she's not obligated. You follow? Are we at all clear?
Could you not also say that the Baal Korah is fulfilling the obligation, and really he's fulfilling the obligation through her for the Kigula?
She's not a Baruch Yufa. How is he fulfilling it through her? She can't be the conduit. She's not obligated.
No, I guess I'm not so clear as to, once you say that really the Baal Korah is the one who's really doing it, then why do we need an Ola at all?
Right, and the answer is the Baal Korah is not the one really doing it. We're going to come back to that view hopefully by the end of today. But the mainstream view is that the only goal of having a Baal Korah is to enable the Oleh to do the mitzvah. The Oleh hears the Baal Korah. The Oleh hears the Baal Korah, and it's as though the Oleh said the words.
But it's still on behalf of him.
But he's not doing a mitzvah. In other words, let's put it this way. Let's pretend for a moment you had a Baal Korah get up and do the laning, and there was no bracha. So they didn't fulfill their obligation. The bracha is principal to it. You require 7 olim. Yeah. We're going to come back to see another way to look to view it, but that's the way we're viewing it right now.
Can we say because it's easy to make a dollar and hard to blow shofar?
And therefore what? What does that even mean?
She can't blow shofar for herself.
Why not?
She doesn't know how.
My daughter's learned how in whatever, grade 1.
Most women don't know how.
Most women don't have a Lubavitch shofar factory that comes to their school and shows them how to blow shofar. Chabad's got to redouble its efforts then. I'm going to offer you two ways that this may work. They're both presented in the Firmware article as minority views. But the first view is, a Bar Chiyuva is able to perform a mitzvah for a non-Bar Chiyuva, despite what we've just said, because her action is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Even though she's not obligated, what she is doing is fundamentally a mitzvah action. And that's sufficient to create a Revus. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman is the one who puts this forward. Take a look at Source Dalet, please. Mevor b'mishnah berurah simin chesiv katan chav dalet me'aretz hazachayim. Shevet tzitzis yachol levarech la'acherim. Av alpi shehu atzmo eino mis'atev. He says, when it comes to tzitzis, somebody putting on tzitzis, somebody putting on a talis, can hear me recite a bracha, and that counts as his bracha. Okay? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, wait a minute. V'lochor rakasha, that's difficult. Me'achar ve'eino chayiv lilbosh beget shal arba kanfos u'schayiv v'tzitzis, ha'reza doma l'birkas hananin v'amai motzi. He says, look, the person who's putting on the tzitzis has no mitzvah of putting on tzitzis. We do it, but theoretically, he could just as easily not put on a four-cornered garment, and then he has no obligation in this. He's like a non-bar chiyuva. And I can say the bracha on his behalf. How does that work? In brackets, v'harei le'inyan achilas lechem mishna amru, and this goes back to our discussion about hamotzi, dekeven shimrotza latzum k'shatzom oneg b'shvilo, lachein i'efshar latzio meino ochel ito yachad. We say regarding lechem mishna on Shabbos, if a person would enjoy Shabbos more by fasting, he's allowed to fast. That's halacha. You have somebody who has a scary dream Friday night, and he's so upset by this dream that he has no desire to eat, and eating would actually make him miserable because he's so upset about this dream. Then the rule is he fasts on Shabbos, and then he has to fast the next day to make up for having fasted on Shabbos. The point that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is making here is that we say, therefore, I can't make hamotzi for you on Shabbos, because you have no mitzvah. And if you're going to tell me, well, I do have a mitzvah because lacha mishnah, I'll say, no, it's overridden. If a guy wants to fast, he's allowed to fast. So clearly he doesn't have an obligation. So how is it that you can say the bracha on tzitzis for somebody else? I'm not talking about now where you are making your bracha on your own tzitzis. If you're making your bracha on your own tzitzis, it's shomei ka'one. That's fine. But where you're not putting on tzitzis right now. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, V'nira demikomakom yesh arevus l'sayei alachol harotze lasos mitzvah. He says, doesn't matter. The principle of arevus says you can say a bracha on behalf of anybody who wants to do a mitzvah. U'mehaitam arasha gam levarech avuro, and therefore you can say the bracha for him as part of assisting him. V'lo dami lebirkas hanehenin she'in shum mitzvah ba'achila. I will not compare this to a bracha on food. Right? Guy wants to make a bracha on bread. I can't make a hamotzi for him because there's no mitzvah involved in his activity. Here it is a mitzvah that's being done, and then he gives you shofar. Even though women are exempt from shofar, they can blow. And so too, I have it in quotes here from what we already have seen. Somebody else who has already heard shofar can blow shofar for them. Umuchach, what's demonstrated here is shaklal sha'avim yatza motzi. This rule of even if you fulfilled your mitzvah, you can fulfill the mitzvah for somebody else. Mahani gam kidei lahotzi esa isha she'ena mitzuva klal. That will work. You can do the mitzvah on behalf of a woman who has no obligation. Dim nomar de'in baze arevus. Because if you're going to tell me there's no such thing as arevus involved, because she's not obligated, and then she's not hearing the shofar of the mitzvah. And therefore she can make the bracha even. The tirtzah, I think, is in quotes in the original source. I don't think I added the quote marks. The statement that he's making is, it's true she's exempt, but she wants to do a mitzvah. Therefore, we view her activity as a mitzvah activity to the extent that you can make the bracha for her. Now, Rosh Shlomo Zalman isn't talking about women and aliyos here. He's talking about birkas hamitzvah in general, that you want to make on behalf of a woman. But you can apply it to our discussion and say, yes, you're right. Technically speaking, one who is not himself doing a mitzvah can't do it on behalf of somebody who is not doing a mitzvah either. However, because she is doing what is recognized as a mitzvah activity in general, hearing shofar, that's good enough. And that will work then for how she will be able to make the bracha on the aliyah. That would be the idea. Because getting an aliyah is a mitzvah activity in general, even if it's not incumbent upon her.
Even though here she's saying the bracha herself.
Even though here she's saying the bracha herself, correct.
Well, you said here that you could.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make it less problematic if she's saying it as opposed to you saying it for her?
Except that's a bracha levatala if it's inappropriate. Right? If it's not a mitzvah activity at all, then Tosos isn't going to say you can make these brachos. Tosos says you can make a bracha on a mitzvah you're not obligated in. He doesn't say you can make a bracha on a non-mitzvah.
So why can't we just go with that? Sorry,
no, so you can. This is a minority view, but it's a view.
Then why can't we just say she accepted the mitzvah upon herself? Just like shaking lulav.
Because our assumption until now was based on things like the Mishnah Berurah's comment regarding Havdalah that you can't do that. Otherwise, the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't have said that she can only hear Havdalah from a male who's actually doing the mitzvah. He would have said she can hear Havdalah from anybody.
No, Mishnah Berurah said she should make her own Havdalah. Are you saying, saying that getting the Aliyah is not the mitzvah, reading the Torah is the mitzvah?
Correct.
She's really saying
a bracha, but not doing the action.
For his mitzvah. She's saying bracha for his mitzvah.
No, it's her mitzvah. Well, it's not his and it's not hers. It's not his because he's not getting the Aliyah. You're talking about Kriyas HaTorah?
Yeah.
It's not his because he's just laning, but he's not getting the Aliyah. And it's not hers because she's not obligated.
Well, which one's the mitzvah, getting the Aliyah or the laning?
So getting the Aliyah is the mitzvah. That's the way we've understood it until now. Again, we're going to revisit this, but that's the way we've understood it until now. You know, the mitzvah is getting the Aliyah.
Well, yeah. She's doing the mitzvah.
Yeah, but if she takes it upon herself... Isn't that like she's obligated?
No.
But she can still do it, we said, no?
Yeah, you can do mitzvahs, but you have no obligation in them.
Right, so.
It wasn't between a man and a woman. A man gets an aliyah. If the mitzvah is to get the aliyah, is the mitzvah to get the aliyah or to lay? Or should the to get the aliyah?
Correct.
What mitzvah are we talking about?
So.
Is that a Chris of Torah started to mitzvah getting an aliyah?
Yeah. It's always been a mitzvah of getting an aliyah.
What do you mean it was always? When the initial institution was always to get an aliyah, that was the mitzvah? Isn't the mitzvah of
Talmud Torah Barabim? The mitzvah of Talmud Torah Barabim is at best some kind of odd communal idea. But it's not what the individual who gets up there is doing. In other words, we're not calling them a Malamei de Torah.
But what mitzvah are they fulfilling?
This rabbinic enactment of having Aliyos, or whatever it was based on week one.
Take out the woman for a second. If it's just if a man gets up there,
yes,
after the edict of Balkria,
yes.
So, why is he allowed to say bracha?
Because there is Shomei Ka'oneh. Because he is hearing this fellow do what is fundamentally his mitzvah activity, and he is a bar chiyuva.
So Shomei Ka'oneh, where you say the bracha and someone else does the action.
Yes.
Meaning.
Exactly. We had two approaches. Either we said the Baal Kriya was the Shaliach of the Ole, right? Or we said that it was Shomea Ka'oneh. The woman, and the Shlichos idea both of those, ultimately, this is what Shlomo Zalman said in this same Tshuva, both of those come down to Arivus.
So it's Shomea Ka'oneh, but regular Shomea Ka'oneh, they do everything, and you just say Amen. Here, you say the bracha also.
I suppose, yeah.
So it's Shemek Ono, like, can I say the bracha, you shake the lulav, and I say, and then I did lulav?
No, because the mitzvah of a gufa, right?
So it's take that approach. If you say you can make a bracha or something.
Right, but the person making the bracha isn't the one being yotze, it's the person putting on the tzitzis.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's asking the other way around.
Okay. But this is not comparable to anything, really. I'm not sure how it works for a man.
Yes, this is an entity unto itself.
Because I'm not convinced how it works for a man. Forget the woman.
So you're with the Rush. The Rush said the person who gets the Aliyah has to lean. Has to lean right. Quietly along, right? To which Shmuley Aleket said, I don't understand what you think you're doing by getting up there and saying words. If you're making him your Shaliach, then what are you doing talking?
So if it's his Shaliach, why can't you make him her Shaliach?
Because Shaliach, who's right to Shlomo Zalman, is Arevus.
She has no Arevus?
There's no Arevus if she has no Chiyuv. In order to be an Arev, you need to have an obligation.
So according to the opinion that you're not the Rosh, what exactly are you doing when you're up there? I don't exactly care. I mean, we're trying to figure this out. What exactly are you doing up there?
Okay,
you're just saying broccoli. You're not. You're right. Just listening to the Torah like everyone else is listening to the Torah. You're standing there.
Right. So two ways that you can take this, but when you're dealing with a male getting an aliyah and a male doing the laning, so the person who gets the aliyah either is making the Baal Kriya his shaliach, the Baal Kriya lanes, on his behalf. I should be doing this, but I'm asking you to take care of it on my behalf. So I made the bracha, and then you actually did the laning. Or, alternatively, Shomea Kaona, I am listening to him do it, and it's as though I did it. And the reason that works is because he and I are both obligated in this mitzvah, and there is a rebus that makes Shomea Kaona work.
And the rabbinic idea of a communal Torah reading.
That's a separate idea of what the community is fulfilling. Yeah. Is that the community is hearing Kriyas HaTorah one way or the other. Yeah.
You're just kind of being the ones who are facilitating that.
Yeah.
According to the Shaliach idea, we have nothing.
Correct. And according to the Shemek Yonah idea, we have nothing.
That's right.
Unless you take Shlomo Zalman's idea.
No, Shlomo Zalman, you have nothing to say again
because she's not obligated in it, and the man is not doing a mitzvah. All he is he's supposed to be the agent of somebody who is doing a mitzvah, but she's not doing a mitzvah.
Why isn't he doing a mitzvah? Doesn't he also have an obligation to hear the Torah?
It's not, he's not fulfilling it. Because.
Who does it for him? He is hearing it when he's, I mean, I guess when he speaks.
You mean normally when there's a male Oleh? It's the male's
Oleh. The Baal Kori still has a chiyuv to listen to the Torah.
Yes, but he hears it usually from a man making the bracha.
That's okay for him?
See, one of the reasons that this is so weird is because the aliyah is part of the structure of the mitzvah. It's not as though, you know, going back to what I said earlier, if you heard a Baal Kriya get up there and lane seven aliyos, but no one made brachos, you weren't yotze Kriya Satara. It isn't just a mitzvah of hear the parsha laned. It's hear the parsha laned on behalf of seven olim. So there has to be this thing that we call an aliyah.
Right now our issue is a woman isn't chayef to...
She's not chayef. We're taking that as a given outside of the Magen Avraham. And therefore, the Baal Kriya isn't actually doing a mitzvah for her. He's not saying a bracha on her behalf.
She takes it upon herself to do a mitzvah. Is that good enough?
No. Except for Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, yes, that is good enough.
Because it's like shofar?
Because it's like any other mitzvah, he's saying.
Well, what in the shofar case, we talk about her?
Oh, in shofar will work according to Shlomo Zalman just like Kriyas HaTorah works. Yeah. Whereas if I don't take Shlomo Zalman's approach, the reason shofar works is because the mitzvah action isn't the blowing, the mitzvah action is the listening.
Well, who makes the bracha in the shofar case?
So, the way we had framed it, right, going back to the Shulchan Aruch, was that the Ramah, because the Shulchan Aruch said no bracha, but the Ramah said they make the bracha, the women make the bracha themselves.
Can one woman touch the other woman, considering none of them are obligated? There should be yotzi the other women, one woman.
You mean one woman making the bracha on behalf of
the other woman, but the man
another
woman.
So
far.
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
That's a different Megillah, but that's a
But that's the idea that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is suggesting.
So that Rosh Shlomo Zalman, though, why can't we just say it's the exact same as shofar? She says the bracha, he does the blowing. You're saying because that's only telling the fact that it makes us to hear the shofar, not
correct.
The whole shofar.
So no. I'm sorry. That's not so. According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the reason it works is because her blowing of the her listening to the shofar is the mitzvah action.
Maybe her listening to the landing.
No, but you said that the
but it's not. The aliyah is the aliyah is principle.
She made the Aliyah, and then she heard the Torah.
But she's not obligated again. See, it comes back, it's like a circle.
I'm not sure that's true. Meaning, she makes the bracha and hears the shofar, the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. Here, she makes the bracha, hears the laning, the mitzvah is not to hear the laning, the mitzvah is the...
To make the bracha. The mitzvah.
She made the bracha.
Yeah, but that's not a mitzvah, because she's not a part of you.
You can't say that. You can't say the whole Indian of a... Kriyas HaTorah is
that
bracha.
Is exactly what we're saying.
The whole thing is the bracha?
Well, no, the laning's got to be with it. If you say a bracha, if your olim get up there and make brachos, but the laning is you know, it's filled with mistakes and you don't get your psukim in, then no, you didn't do it.
Right, so it's both. It's a package deal.
Yes. You may be more comfortable with the Moed and Muzmanim's approach.
No, so then he's able to get out of that. I'm just saying, I was trying to argue you don't need the Shulchan Zalman, that just say her aliyah is the same as her shofar.
Understood.
Anything you can't say that?
Correct.
Based on
what we saw regarding Havdalah. If you were right regarding Havdalah, then how would this play out?
How would Havdalah work?
Yeah. Why is it that you can't hear it from a man who has already fulfilled Havdalah?
You say, why can't she say a bracha?
Yeah.
And then he makes Havdalah.
Well, what is, I don't know what making Havdalah means then, if she's saying the bracha.
Exactly. So maybe it's a bad example.
Maybe Havdalah's a bad example. Interesting.
It has to be something else to have.
I want to go a little further because it's 10 after 11 and there's like a world of stuff we haven't seen. But take a look at Source Hay. Rav Sternbach's approach is broader than Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach. Rav Sternbach will say that a Bar Chayuva is able to perform a mitzvah for a non-Bar Chayuva under Shomei HaKa'oneh. Forget the idea that we view it like a Kiyum HaMitzvah. We don't even need that. He says, Umisvara Amina Bazeh Chidush Gadol. He's talking shofar. He says, I'm going to give you a great novelty. The fact that we require that the person blowing shofar be obligated in the mitzvah, meaning the listener, bar chiyuva, verotza la seis mitzvaso, tsarachlis yaches lo, tkias bar chiyuva davka, la seis chiyuvo. The listener is obligated in shofar. He wants to fulfill his obligation. Therefore, he has to be connected to the shofar blowing of someone who is personally obligated as well. And that only works if the person blowing shofar also is fulfilling an obligation at the same time. But a woman isn't obligated. So he says the woman is not chayiv in shofar, and if so, she doesn't need the shofar to be blown by someone who's obligated either, because she has no obligation. She doesn't have to hear it from a bar chiyuva. And he goes on to suggest that maybe you're better off in certain ways having a minor blow shofar for women instead of having an adult blow shofar for women, because you can solve other problems like the fact that you're blowing shofar extra on Rosh Hashanah. But his point is only a bar chiyuva needs to have the cooperation of a bar chiyuva in order to do the mitzvah. That's basically his point. So, therefore, the woman can get the aliyah, taking his idea and applying it here, the woman can get the aliyah and hear from a man who is not doing his own mitzvah.
I don't really understand Rav Sternbach in terms of how far does he take this idea that if you're not high, then you're not to hear from somebody high. So what are we meaning? Are we patronizing the woman? Like, what are they hearing? Let's say if they recorded the shofar, is that good enough?
No, because you still have to hear shofar blowing. You know, the recorder isn't called shofar blowing.
So, but why is the katan shofar blowing? Katan isn't shofar blowing for me to hear it. If they blow it, I'm not fulfilling anything.
No, but he performed the physical action of blowing shofar.
But we're changing your category, meaning.
No, his point is that you need the physical action of the mitzvah. What you don't need is that it be performed by a bar chiyuva.
But what is the physical action of the mitzvah? The person performing it is in chayav. Let's say non-Jew blows it. Am I chayav then?
So that's an interesting question. Would he be okay with
a non-Jew? I don't understand where he's taking this. It's almost patronizing it. Because what are you blowing this? What? No, there's no ma'aseh mitzvah. The non-Jew's blowing the shofar. What ma'aseh mitzvah am I fulfilling?
You heard shofar.
The chiddush is so far that a non-Jew blowing. That's why this
kind of comes from a ram. I don't know. The chiddush is that you need a Jew to blow for you.
The scum of the
why
gemara.
Why the chiddush?
Because all you should need is to hear shofar. Who cares if it blows itself?
The question of a non-Jew blowing is an interesting one.
That doesn't make any sense.
So we said that the guy doesn't need to have kavana to be motzi in the barn of Rosh Hashanah. There, he doesn't have to have kavana. You can hear some taxing shofar and be motzi your shofar.
So that's an interesting question. So Adam asks, maybe then you don't require kavana either at all. You know, what's happening now? You're just hearing a physical action.
Right. How
it's
yeah.
An interesting question. I didn't see his discussion about the cut.
Yeah.
An interesting discussion. Okay. But we still have to get to the second half here, and I don't know how much of this we're going to get through, but we're going to try. Which is, how could a woman be the Baalat Kriya? Right? How could a woman be the Baalat Kriya? We've already seen the Magen Avraham say women are not obligated, right? So, if she is not obligated, how is she able to do the laning on behalf of a male oleh? Even though we've said that the laning isn't the entire mitzvah, the aliyah is principal to having the mitzvah, nonetheless, the Baal Kriya is laning on your behalf. If the Baal Kriya isn't chayav, you run into trouble. Take a look at Shulchan Aruch Harav that I brought you here in source Vav. This is one out of many sources that you can look at for it. If you look at the Firmware article, footnotes 176, 177, he has a nice long list of poskim. But the position there, Eina Katan Yachol Lios Makro Yashal, you can't have a minor lane for people getting Aliyos. Dainu Shu Yikra Vakol Ram Besefer Torah Vaholim Omer Makro Belachash, right, like the Rosh's idea that you lane along. Vachol Atzibur Yotzim Yidei Chavasan Bishmiyam Imanu. Ho'ol Behu Einu Machuyim Bedavar Eino Yachol Otziyam Yidei Chavasan. He can't do it. Ashis Chayv Kmo Sam, unless he's obligated like they are. Dainu Mishayav Yishtei Saros. And similarly in the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not going to read it inside in the interest of time, but the same idea. So the question then is, how is it that they are able to do so? There is even a view in the Ginas Varadim, which he quotes in footnote 199, that they shouldn't even be able to lane for themselves, getting an aliyah. If they're not obligated, they shouldn't even be able to lane for themselves. The Ginas Varadim has a Chuvidu community that specifically wanted to use minors as Balei Kriya because their high voices are nice. They felt like it would make the Kriya Satara sound more beautiful. It'll be a hit or mitzvah. So that's what he's addressing. He's not happy. But
Shulchan Aruch assumes there is a communal obligation.
The assumes that there. What do you mean? Well, there's not obligation to listen and hear the Kriyas HaTorah.
Ah, so it doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not necessarily saying you have to be sure, but the shul has to have.
There has to be a Kriyas HaTorah. So then the question is this. That's the question is, can they lean for a male, right? But. But along with that, you have to ask the question, if women are not obligated, right, how were they, back in the day, pre-splitting of aliyahs, pre the Baal Kriya institution, when the woman would get an aliyah, and she would lane, how could they do it then? The community isn't hearing it from a Bar Chiyuva. If you're telling me a woman can't lane for a male Oleh, then how did she lane for the community back when she got the aliyah? You follow? There's an objection to our objection. If you really believe that this doesn't work for the woman to lane for a male Oleh, then how did it work for a woman to lane for the community? You follow? That's our question. So one response is you're right. The Sfas Emes in Source Ches, and again, I'm not going to read it inside just in the interest of time, but you'll see it there. The Sfas Emes says, you're right, it must be that they are obligated. That, in other words, like the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham is right. That women are, in fact, obligated in the mitzvah. Because otherwise they couldn't have gotten aliyos. The fact that they got an aliyah, and they got up and laned, and the community heard it and fulfilled their obligation, tells you that a woman is considered a bar chiyuva.
In this case.
Yeah, like the Magen Avraham against the rest of the world. In Kriyas HaTorah. The second response, though, we're going to offer three responses. The second response is that you could say they laned for their own aliyah, and they recited the bracha, following the view of the Rashba, that the bracha may be recited by anybody, obligated or not obligated, going back to our discussion about the nature of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So that will be a second approach. That approach is not broadly accepted. And the way we know it's not broadly accepted is because of the following case. You are an Israeli. You find yourself on the second day of Shavuos, outside of Eretz Yisrael. You daven in shul, because you want to answer Kaddish and Brachos and whatever. They call you up for the aliyah. What do you do? So the answer is, you try to avoid taking the aliyah. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a piece on this, where he discusses it and says, Bish'az hachak, if they already called you up, you should try to get out of it, but if you can't get out of it, then get up and take the aliyah. Because now you have a problem otherwise that you are publicly declaring today is in Yom Tov for me. Which is also a problem. So, alright, fine, then get up and take the aliyah. But barring that, no one wants the Israeli getting an aliyah on Yom Tov Sheni. So, if you were right that Kriyas HaTorah is a communal thing and the bracha could be recited by anybody, Bar Chiyuva or otherwise, there would be no problem with the Israeli taking the bracha, making the bracha on Yom Tov Sheni. The fact that we don't like him doing that tells me that we really don't accept this idea.
So the idea being that even if she's not chayav, she can make a bracha and fulfill everyone's obligation. You don't need to be a barchi, but fulfill
correct
the community's obligation.
Right, that was the Rashba we saw ages ago. Yeah. The third response, okay, so our first response is that they were able to lane because they are a bar chiyuva. They were able to make the bracha and lane because they are a bar chiyuva. The second response is that we'll take the view that anybody can make the bracha, even a non-bar chiyuva, but we have a problem with that. The third response, I just have to plug in because my battery is down to 6%. I've got to place it at some point. This is average. There. Thanks.
But our problem is just the Zelini number.
You only have a few. Okay. Sorry, you were saying?
I thought the question we're dealing with is how can she lane for everyone?
Well, the question that we're asking is
how can she lane for the man who makes the aliyah?
Correct.
And so why is the Rashba, why bring that in and answer that question? That's just saying why the
right, I'm sorry. No. That's on the bracha question. You're right. The Rashba won't be as germane. Right. I want to look at that closer because okay. I think you're right. Yeah. The third response is when they were called up, a man leaned for them, even in the time of the Gemara. A pre-Bal Kriya institution, Bal Kriya. And that's the view brought by the Mishnah Halachos in Source Tess. If you take a look there, in Source Tess, the second side of the sheet.
When they were called up, a man leaned for them, or said the Bracha? No,
the man, the man would do the laning.
Which is the same thing as now. Why is that?
Sorry.
Why does that solve anything? It just makes what we have now into what was. Okay, fine.
No, that's true. But the
then you have just two answers of the.
Sorry.
Rosh Shemach and Rosh Lomba.
Yeah. So the Mishnah Halacha says that that's what they would actually do. That you had a Bal Kriya. You can see it there in Tess. I'm not going to read it inside because I want to make sure to get through this today. I don't want to leave this hanging. Ramosha rejects this, as do others. Ramosha is in Igris Moshe, Arachayim Beis Ayin Beis. And he suggests a different answer, which will be a fourth response, I suppose, to the problem. And that is, he's dealing with a Katan. So he said the answer would have to be that it's an obligation for the people to listen, but not to do the reading. It's not an obligation to recite it, it's an obligation just to hear it read, and you heard it read, and you heard the correct number of people recited, and that was good enough. But there's a whole other school of thought when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, and we've hinted at it a bunch of times now, just today. And this is what the Firmers like to call the inverted school in their article. And it's this is unique, but it has a lot of sense to it, and it introduces a deeper understanding of Shemaya Ka'one and Arevus, so we're going to go for it. This idea is that the Bal Kriya is the Ole, so to speak. And he's the one doing the mitzvah on behalf of everybody else. It's really the Bal Kriya who matters, it's not the person getting the Aliyah. It's based on a Tosefta in Megillah, which I brought you in Source Yud, which says that Beis HaKnesset She'en Lehem Mi She'yikra Ela Echad, if a shul only has one person who can lane, Omed V'Kara Yoshev, Omed V'Kara V'Yoshev, Omed V'Kara V'Yoshev, Afilu Shiva Pamim. He gets up, he reads, he sits down. Gets up, reads, sits down, 7 times. And the Shulchan Aruch writes on that in Source Yud Aleph, he makes the bracha. He says some of the psukim. He makes a closing bracha. So when it says Omid Kara Yoshev, Omid Kara Yoshev, he's making a bracha each time on each aliyah. However many people you're supposed to call up that day, presumably you're not making Hosafos. That's what this poor guy is going to do. So he replaces sitting down and standing up with the brachos, because the Tosefta is talking about when you don't make a bracha on each individual aliyah, you only have the bracha in the beginning and the bracha at the end. So the point is, reading is the mitzvah. It's not about the ole, and it's not about the ole's brachos. There's a logical appeal to this view.
No, it's not about the brachos. He's making the brachos also.
Only once we institute that the olim actually make brachos. But until then, he's simply omeid, korei, yoshev. Omeid, korei, yoshev. I don't make it. No, let him read from the beginning to the end. Why am I doing 7 aliyos altogether in the days when the Oled doesn't make a bracha? Why am I having him get a stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down? Let him stand up in the beginning, laying the whole thing through, and be done. But what does that mean?
Because the whole institution was that there should be seven
millions.
Right. But what it means is seven leanings. It's not about having seven different people. It's something that we should break up the Torah reading into seven leanings. And there's a logical appeal to this. Because the Baal Kriya is the one who's doing something. Right? We intuitively, from when we first start looking at Kriyas HaTorah and wondering what exactly is going on, we assume the Baal Kriya is the star of the show. Not the person who's getting the Aliyah. Because the Baal Kriya is the one who's actually doing something. He's the one who's reciting Kriyas HaTorah. So within this view, the institution that we have of each person making the bracha is that actually the Baal Kriya is doing the mitzvah and the Oleh is saying a bracha on behalf of the Baal Kriya. Instead of what we've been saying all along, which is the Oleh is doing the mitzvah and he's hearing the person lane and it's as though he's doing the laning, it's the other way around. The Baal Kriya is doing the mitzvah and he's hearing the bracha from the Oleh on his behalf. Because the takana was to have seven people do it. That was the way they enacted it. Why did they do it? Maybe for the sake of having more participation in the mitzvah. Well, keep in mind, originally, it was seven different people who were laning. Right? You laned your own aliyah. Right? Until the Gaonim got up and said, we're not going to have you lane your own aliyah, we're going to have one person do it.
What if you get your own aliyah?
Sorry?
If you get your own aliyah, it's kind of weird that you're making a bracha like...
What if the Baal Kriya also gets an aliyah?
Yeah.
Then he's doing the mitzvah kitikuno.
Okay, so no problem. Yeah. So looking at the next one, there's something wrong with this, right? He says no one else who knows how to read.
Yeah.
Then he should do exactly that, right?
If there's no one else who knows how to read, right?
So then how can we just assume today no one else knows how to read and then we'll just do it all?
But that's not true. People know how to read. I mean, they can say bracha. And keep in mind, we follow the view of the Ramah, that the Oleh doesn't need to be able to read. He just has to be able to hear it.
I'm just not sure this just has to prove that. I like this idea.
I know, I don't think the Tosefta is a great proof either. I'm much more compelled by the logic than I am by the Tosefta. I agree with you.
The Tosefta could be ready though. Yeah. So could he still be on the Oleh?
In a Hanami. But according to this, if I take this view, then if a man is laning, then a woman can't be the Oleh. Right? Unless I take the view of the Magen Avraham, because she can't make the bracha on behalf of the Baal Kriya, because she's not chayiv in the mitzvah. And a woman can't lane and have a male say the bracha based on the discussion that we had about how you fulfill a mitzvah on behalf of someone who's not obligated. Right? If she is laning, she is the one who is actually doing the mitzvah, but it's not her mitzvah. And the Oleh is saying a bracha for somebody who isn't obligated in that bracha. And this whole thing needs to be worked out better. Go read page 94, 95.
It needs to be two women or one woman doing the whole thing herself.
Yes, that's what it sounds like. It's a whole different way to look at this.
But then also what happened in Haskalah in the beginning, then you're going back to claiming that...
Right, so within this school, the only options that work would be, before they split off...
She did it herself.
You know, a woman would lane and recite the bracha, right? Within one of the views that justifies a woman making a bracha on a mitzvah she's not obligated in. Either following the school of Ashkenaz that she can do that on a Birkas HaMitzvah or that you can take on a Birkas HaShavach, fine. Or, alternatively, the only other option that would work would be for a man to lane and a woman to recite the bracha following the view that it's a communal bracha. Right? That would work as well. That anybody could do it, like that Rashba. It's a whole other way to look at this. And I'm really not doing it justice by sort of sneaking it into the last 10 minutes of the shiur. But I want to start Kavadat Zibur next time, and I wanted to make a clean break. But that's the idea. Within this school of thought. It's a whole other way to look at it. There's a lot of logic to it, but nobody seems to believe it. It's a minority school.
Does he have any more Makoros than these two?
Not really a whole lot. He takes two pages on this, and he has take a look at footnotes 206, 207 in the article, and you'll see a little bit more there. But he doesn't have a whole lot on this. Okay, so that's, we covered the idea of women laning, but the upshot of everything we've discussed, really, is you can find justifications for the different combinations. They may be minority view versus majority view, but it can be worked through, which makes sense, because at the end of the day, as we keep saying, you go back to the Shulchan Aruch, which says, as the Braisa said, women can count towards the Minyan Shiva. So, all that we're doing is trying to figure out how it worked within the context of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, and Shomea Ka'one, and Arevus, and who's doing the mitzvah, and so on. But fundamentally, there was a way that this was done. Unless you're going to take the view that women didn't get the aliyos with a bracha, right? The first and last, which is difficult to say, because the Shulchan Aruch is quoting it at a time when everybody is making a bracha, right? Or you're going to say, like the view that the Mishnah Halachas puts forth, that the women didn't lean, right? Which again, Rav Moshe rejects and others reject. It sounds like they were getting an aliyah, and they were, back in the days before it was split, they were laning it and making the bracha. Post the split, at the least, we know they could get an aliyah. And so what we need to talk about is less what we've done for the last 5 weeks, although that's been a fun, you know, lesson in Kriyas HaTorah, and much more what comes next, which is, so what was the story with this Kavod HaTzibur? And what does it mean? And can it be forgiven? And various elements that emerge in this conversation. So God willing, we'll continue next Friday.